Can we celebrate Jesus some more? Can we celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who our praise, his praise is all we desire? Celebrate Jesus, not Pastor Willis. Celebrate Jesus, not yourself. Celebrate Jesus, not your situation. Celebrate Jesus, not man. If you are celebrating Jesus, can you put with a loud noise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. People of God, I am excited to be in the presence of God. Media, I hope our screen is working. Please give me 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. Sorry, before we read that, not to spoil our minds, but I beg, is this money still useful? Please, maybe our children do something, or maybe you want to remove it from your bag. Please be careful so that we do not take the things of God with kid gloves. This is too casual. Please, I am saying this as a warning so that we don't pull the wrath of God upon our lives. All right, please. I shared with you how we did 2 offerings where I was before, and then we found half of the 50 naira, half of the 50 naira in first offering, the second half in second offering. Organa by force, put 1 offering and leave the rest now. Is it? Nobody is forcing you. Please, how about that? And it's 50 naira, it's now 1K. The solo tape to plaster that 50 naira, you know, it's more than the 50 naira. It's 17 naira, they buy it. So you have given us more work to plaster only. Is it plaster now or to sew? please, the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Can we do our scripture together? 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1. It is our custom that we all be on our feet, even as we read the word of God together. 1, 2, go. Now, dead cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons and to be bondmen. Good. Next verse. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save for a pot of oil. Next verse. Then he said, go, borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Next verse. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Next verse. So she went forth him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Next verse. And it came to pass, when the vessels were filled, that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And she said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Last verse. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said unto her, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and leave thy own. Can you just lift up your hands and say, oh God, speak to me. Father, let your word make meaning to my heart today. Father, even as I hear this word, it will turn to oil in my heart. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. Father, for every hand and heart that is lifted up, I make a decree today, Father, that you speak to us expressly, individually, and you speak to us collectively as a family. In the name of Jesus. Father, may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Father, that we may know that which is the truth that comes from your grace and your throne. Thank you, mighty Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, choir. You may take your seats. Glory to God. Amen. People of God, I want you to listen. There is a realm There is a realm you will get to in Christianity where prayer is not enough. There is a realm you will get to where even your fasting is not enough. There is a realm you will go to where even prophecy and all of it will not work. That realm is called the realm of obedience. People of God, it tells you that it is not only when you pray, it is not only when you fast, it is not when the prophecy comes. There is a realm that you go into that it is only obedience that counts. So today we are going to be looking at obedience through the word. Obedience through the word. People of God, listen to me. Listen to me. Your manifestation is never complete without an obedience. The word will never manifest in your life if you do not obey them. Obeying them, the word of God is taking action in the word of God. The widow cried, but heaven did not multiply her tears. Heaven only multiplied her obedience. So when issues come in you, to you in life, it is not how hard you cry that concerns heaven. It is how you obey that concerns heaven. Heaven did not multiply her tears, but heaven multiplied her obedience. The economy of God, point number one that I want us to note here, is that the economy of heaven responds to instructions. For blessings and miracles to come from heaven, heaven responds to what? Instructions. The prophet asked her, and listen to this, what do you have in the house? She said, nothing except a jar of oil. Do you know what our problem is at times in life? We look down on those things that we have. Why not just say, I have a jar? Why not just go? I don't know. Do you know that sometimes when you see some people wear clothes, it looks fine on them, but when you wear, it doesn't look fine on you? God forbid. That is how the glory of God is upon some of us. The glory upon the life of somebody seems to be very interesting and very nice, but the one upon our lives, we trivialize it. And she was asked, what do you have in your house? She started with saying what? Nothing. Are you seeing how we should respond to the things of God and how we should not respond? How can you start a statement by saying nothing? You must have something. In fact, if you think there is nothing, say, I have obedience. You might say, I have the love of God. There must be something you have. And what later happened? Let me say, God will never start what you don't with what you don't have. God will always start with that which you have. God will always start with that which you ignore. Did you hear the statement that says, little foxes spoil the vine? Why do you think the big ones don't spoil it? Why are they the small ones? The one you pay ignorance to. This is the mystery in Exodus chapter 4 verse 2 that says, what is in thy hand? When Moses said, a rod, heaven said, that is enough. When Moses was asked, he said, a rod. People of God, honestly, if I was asked that question at that point, I wouldn't consider the rod. Why? Now in third leg, now in support. He was using it to walk in the desert. You know, when you're climbing, when you're walking in the desert or a mountain, you need something like a pivot to hold on to so that you can pull yourself and walk. Or when you're climbing a mountain, as the mountain gets high, you must put on something so that you use it as a leverage or as a lever to pull yourself upwards. Now, I wouldn't have considered that as something that I have. People of God, but that was what Moses said. What Moses saw, and he said, I have a rod in my hand. And heaven said what? That is enough. What is it in thy hands? What are you holding in thy hands? Don't you ignore anything that you have. You must hold on to something that God works with. And you know what happened? The problem is not the scarcity. The problem is the disobedience. There is always something God has deposited inside of you. It's just that you refuse to obey God to identify it. Point number two, obedience creates capacity for increase. Obedience creates capacity for increase. And you know what? He says, borrow not a few vessels. That statement is heavy. Look, it means your level of obedience determines your level of manifestation. Borrow not a few. Does that remind you that when you want to obey, you should obey totally? Not halfway. Obedience is complete. Obedience is never done halfway. Obedience should be done complete. If you say, I will do something, do it. Don't say, I will do it and end up not doing it. If God says, do something, please do it to the fullest. Half obedience is disobedience. Half obedience is rebellion. And you know what? You know what? In Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and 2, it says, if thou shalt hearken diligently to all this, to all this, blessings shall come. People of God, he never, note that you don't need to shout here. You don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. What did he say? If you are obedient, that is all. You see, but there are some things in our lives that is not prayer point. There are some things in our life, it's not fasting. It just takes you to obey God's word. Simple. And one letter happened here. I wrote here. Let me read what I wrote here. Diligence in obedience is what magnifies blessings. Diligence in obedience is what magnifies blessings. The oil stopped when there was no more vessel. Your blessing stops when there is no more obedience. Your blessing stops there. The vessel can be likened to your obedience, to instructions. If God says, do this, people of God, do it hook, line, and sinker. Don't even think. And then listen. Heaven did not close. Her capacity closed. The capacity to carry more oil closed. Your capacity to carry more blessing closes when obedience is off. And one letter happened, people of God. One letter happened. The oil ceased. This is why Isaiah 1:19 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye be willing and what? Obedient, you shall eat what? The good of the land. People of God, listen. If you do not know what good of the land means, let me explain to you. It means that you have dominion over the skies. You have dominion over everything that operates in the sky. I hope you know and I hope you understand that there are kingdoms in the sky. I hope you know that even when it comes to the land, you know there are kingdoms here on the land. The Bible says you will eat the good of the kingdoms that surfaces on the land. There are kingdoms beneath the land on the earth. He says you will have dominion over those things. There is a kingdom in the sea. God is telling you, you shall have dominion over them. You will eat good. When people say the sun smites them that by day, the sun will become a blessing to you by day. People of God, when they say the economy too hard, the economy will become child's play to you. You will live under the economy of God. That is what it means by eating the good of the land. Nothing will be your limitation. No character, nothing will be your element. Only if you are willing and obedient. Sometimes I wish, Bob, we could understand some of these words in their Greek original meaning. When they talk of the good of the land, you will discover that so many of us, our mindset just rolls, or maybe I go work, salary will come, or no, that is. That is a very, very, it's a myopic way of thinking. People of God, it goes beyond that. Even the realms of the spirit will favor you. Somebody didn't say amen. Even the realms of the spirit will favor you. Listen, the nature, what you call nature, nature is operated by laws, and those laws are kept by spirit. People of God, even nature will favor you. Ah, your amen is too weak. I heard of a man who went to a farm. this man was looking for gold. So there is a big stone where he, just like this, where he usually goes to rest at the end of the day. While he was digging and digging, and you know gold, they like borehole. You go dig and go down, well. He kept digging and digging, and you know they have tributaries inside. They have, you know, like tentacles inside. He will search. When they dig, they do it what is called loto in Hausa. They dig it into not just like a well. They open the down and check for things. Yet, he was sitting on the gold that he was busy toiling for. What is in thy hand? God uses what you are always ignorant of. Nature becomes a blessing to you. God will turn stones into gold to favor you. In the name of Jesus. And you didn't hear that prayer. I say God will turn stones into gold just to favor you. In the name of Jesus. Point number three here. Obedience activates the supernatural. Obedience activates the supernatural. Consider what Luke 5 verse 5 says. It says, nevertheless at thy word. This was Simon Peter talking to Jesus. Luke chapter 5 verse 5. When they toiled all night, people of God, they caught nothing. I shared with us last week that Peter was a skillful fisherman. Just like our daddy say plumbing today. You know, he's skillful at it. Do you understand? He knows his onions. That is why he said it's supposed to be a 2-hour procedure. He know that this thing is not supposed to take time. That was how Peter was. Peter understands the fish. It was like he could talk to the fish and tell you that at this time of the day, the fish should be feeding around this axis. He understood the sea, but he went and toiled all night. I hope you know there are a certain kind of fish that you find them only in the night. I hope you know that. Why? He was looking for a bumper harvest. Yet, with all his skills, with all his qualification, he caught nothing. And then what happened? Peter never caught anything because his expertise failed him. But his expertise bowed to an instruction. Go back. So it means that there is a point where your expertise will not suffice. There is a point where you get to your expertise and your technical know-how will not lead you. Just obey at such point. It comes to pass. And you know what? This is something that shook me when I was reading this scripture. It says, the net breaking miracle did not come because Peter was skilled. It came because Peter obeyed. And you know what surprised me here? Or maybe I should leave it till later. Let me leave it tomorrow. Consider John 2:5. He said, whatever he saith unto you, do it. This was Mary talking to the servants in the wedding. She said, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. People of God, listen to me. What is God telling you to do? What is God telling you to do? It got to a point where sometimes we don't know whether our spirit, our man spirit, they tell us something to do. But when they say, pack this money and go and give this person, we don't even think. We carry it and go and give. God, people of God, do you think it's easy for you to sit down and look at your whole purse? You don't have up to ₦1 million or you have like ₦2 million, but you want to venture into charity work of over ₦3 million. Does that come from a normal heart? In fact, that person, they colo. The person they mark. Why? You don't have it, but you are willing to go and give out even what you don't have. It takes a heart that hears from God to do that. And that is what we as a chapel were doing. So when I'm talking about every one of you. Because in this business, all of us are involved. We don't have the money to go and do this medical outreach we are going out for. In case you don't know, let me say it out. Maybe Dr. Alu will not say it. But me, I'm not a fear person. Hallelujah. If you do, you're not going to collect mic from my hand. Listen, people of God. But it takes a leap of faith to do that. We are not looking at what is our limitation. We are looking at God's capacity. And you know what's going to happen now? We will do it and we will finish well. Can that your amen is for babies? Can I have an adult amen? God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have you noticed something with water? Water does not argue. Water does not argue, but water is one of the greatest force on earth. Water does not argue. You can fetch it from here and pour it there. It will obey you. Keep doing it and pouring it into a vessel. One day it will burst open that vessel, but it started small, small. Water never argues. People of God, that is how you are. You never argue. You should be like that. When God is putting something in you, keep doing it. Remain there. One day, just like the net, you will burst open. Glory to God. Oh my goodness, God. Time is a blessing. Point number four. Point number four. I think I'll just have to read this one. So we have a lot to do. God, and I'll take my time today. I don't know what's going to happen. This service, I'm supposed to have 40 minutes, but I had less than 30 minutes today. God help us in Jesus' name. So please, we'll choke in some things to see how we can, so that we'll have more time to dwell on His word. Amen. Point number four. Revelation without obedience is frustration. Revelation without obedience is frustration. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word." Revelation becomes manifestation only through your response. What do we mean? You can know Greek, you can know Hebrew, you can know all the mysteries in the Bible, but until you obey, heaven remains silent. Heaven remains silent. Until you obey that still small voice in your heart. Number five, I have to rush this. Number five, obedience unlocks sustained dimensions. Why do I mean? After the oil multiplied, the prophet said, "Go, sell and pay your debts and live." Obedience does not just solve yesterday's problem, it creates solution for tomorrow. Obedience does not just solve yesterday's problems, but what? It creates and secures tomorrow for you. People of God, listen to me very well. Once you obey, the future of your children is secured. Do you know why we are worried about tomorrow? It's because we don't obey the rules that came from yesterday, and we don't know the rules for today. That is why tomorrow becomes an uncertainty. If you obey God's word, your tomorrow is secured. Now, this is the mystery of that Deuteronomy where we read. Can I have that Deuteronomy 11 from 26 to 28 NLT? That's the mystery that we have there. Please, man, the blessing is not random. It is a response to alignment. Can I have that Deuteronomy 11? Hallelujah. 26. He said, look today. Look, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. People of God, listen to me. Why will God always set a blessing and a curse? Does this sound like in Genesis where God took Adam to the garden in Eden, and he says there is trees, or eat of the plenty trees, eat of the shrubs and everything. He says, but there is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it means that there was a choice even before in the garden of Eden. People of God, that is what this scripture is saying. He said, I've given between a blessing and a curse. Next verse. He says, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of God. People of God, wait a minute. Does that mean the other trees that are in the garden are the trees of blessings? Is somebody getting this mystery here? He says, you will be blessed if you obey. By eating what they say eat, you will be blessed. People of God, if today I put a plate of rice with chicken, I call chicken, I like your face. I call chicken. I love the air. You like chicken, right? Okay. Hallelujah. And you have a plate of rice and a delicious chicken on it. And then you have another plate of only salt. And the salt is carrying a big fish. Okay, you like fish, right? Okay, I like that. A big fish. What kind of fish do you like? Tilapia or good? A big tilapia fish on it. But it is put on a 2 mudu of salt. Which one will you pick? Rice with chicken. I love that, Daddy. You know why you eat that? Because it is a blessing for you to eat rice and chicken. But the amount of salt that is on that tilapia, despite the fact that you like tilapia, you will not go for it. Now, that is how God sets the things before us. And do you know why I use salt and tilapia? It's because what is good of the knowledge of good and evil always seem to be nice. They always seem to be nice. There is a preacher that call it the dangling carrots. And he says, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I have given you today. Next verse, last verse. He said, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship God. People of God, listen. Once you do not obey, you are actually dragging a curse into your life. Simple. Once you do not obey, are you seeing why sometimes some of these curses come? And many of us are quick to wanting prayers. Man of God, pray for me. Things are not working. No, sir. Check into your life. What are you not obedient to? When I was doing prayer principles in one of the schools we attended, when we were doing prayer principles, a question arose. That why is it that when you pray on this person, the same person praying on two people, maybe they have similar problems or issues in their lives. You pray on this one gets instant miracle. You pray on this one, or let me say three people. You pray on this one, he never gets his miracle, maybe till he goes home. Then you pray on this one, 10 years time, nothing has happened. What is the difference? Go and check their level of obedience to the word of God. You will understand why. This is the problem. And then most of us are quick to say, this man of God is not powerful. It's not to Iro. It is you. Check the level of your obedience to the word. We shared with us how a brother, that a word came and he went to the car stand and price car. What was his reward at the end of the day? He got the car. Point number 6. The prophetic pattern. Write the prophetic pattern. Point number 6. Listen. Every major manifestation of scripture is followed by obedience. I want you to understand what is called the prophetic pattern here. Listen, in Joshua chapter 6, the children of Israel marched before the wall of Jericho. What was the instruction? March 7 times every day, once. People of God, they never did anything else. They only marched around the place. Listen, these are prophetic patterns. They are patterns in the instruction that once you follow it to the latter, the result is sure. And when they walk around it, they never listen. I hope you know that the walls of Jericho, if the wall is like this and you turn the wall the other side, it still remains a wall. Somebody's not understanding me. The wall is so wide. You know, there are also houses on top of the wall. It didn't say the fence of Jericho. Because anytime we think of that thing, we look at it as, listen, people of God, that wall, houses there on top. So it is so wide. It's bigger than this place. People walk on it. So it was going to take a miracle for that wall to use spear. That time they don't get dynamite and all these things. For them to use spear or a hammer, a sledgehammer, to break down that wall, it will take them centuries. People of God, at the single obedience, that obedience broke that wall, that irresistible wall, that wall of trouble. Only obedience broke it down. Man couldn't have broken that wall with all his efforts. Nothing would have made that wall to fall with all the efforts available to man. Nothing would have thrown that wall down. And even if you push the wall, it becomes another wall because it's wide. But at obedience, and at a single shout, what happened? The whole walls came crumbling down. It crumbled and became dust at the shout and word of what? Full obedience. The prophetic patterns. Can we look at also in 2 Chronicles from 20 to 20, verse 20, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. It says, they praised before victory came. God, Paul and Silas, they prayed, they fast, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. Listen, God never told them, fight with the shackles. God never said, fight with the chains. He only said, praise God. Sometimes the instruction might not be pray. Sometimes the instruction might not be fast. Sometimes the instruction can just be praise God. Sometimes the instruction can be meditate on the word. You know what we are quick to do? It we like to live a busy life. We are so occupied, so busy. When they ask you, man of God, like some of us that are men of God, we travel a lot. You are everywhere, but you do not have time to come and say, oh God, speak to me. Especially we pastors, and especially fathers, we are busy trying to make ends meet, busy throwing instructions and laws everywhere, but we do not have time to sit down and be refreshed. How about in Genesis 22? Abraham lifted the knife before the ram came. People of God, which kind of test be that? My only son, carry him to go slaughter her like Boko Haram. Why? Yet Abraham obeyed till the latter. He didn't stop to reason God. Now, my only beginning, honestly, I was wondering what was in the, if Sarah knew about this thing, what would have been going on in her heart? You want to carry my beginning? Then, if then some mothers will remove this thing and tie on the waist. You know, where woman tie this one? Guy, your own is finished. Oh my God. Your case, we have to call on elders of the church to look into your matter, because that is going to be a serious offense. Hallelujah. Can I just rush quickly? What are five enemies to obedience? Five enemies to obedience. Number one, enemy to obedience, pride. Number one, pride. Pride makes a man trust his own wisdom above God's instruction. The word may come, but pride says, I know a better way. Pride. I will rush. Point number two, fear. Fear convinces you that obeying God will cost you too much. No. Bros, no doing like this. How about what is God saying? Leave this thing, it will be too much. Continue. Fear, you must kick it out. Many people hear God clearly, but began to think, what will people say? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? Cancel all of those ifs. They are fear. Number three, and scripture for that, you can find it in 2 Timothy 1:7. Scripture for the first one, we say pride. You can find scripture, James 4:6. For pride, number one, James 4:6. And then for fear, you can have it in 2 Timothy 1:7. Point number three, carnal reasoning. I was really looking for how to coil this thing. Carnal reasoning. This happens when logic begins to argue with revelation. When your reason begins to argue with the revelation of God in your heart, carnal reasoning. God may give an instruction that does not look reasonable. Look at example. Joshua was told to defeat Jericho by walking around the wall. No military strength, no military strategy. Nothing was recommended other than just to walk around. People of God, that walking around, walk around, will he push down the fence? Had it been say, if you go, everybody break part of the wall and go away, and everybody is doing that, at least with time you know that you're chiseling out something. But walking around will has no effect on the wall. So it doesn't make sense for a wall of that capacity for us to just walk around it. It doesn't make sense. Scripture for that, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Proverbs 3:5. Point number four. We are looking at what? Five enemies to disobedience. And five enemies of obedience. Then we say point number four is what? Delayed response. Delayed response. What are we saying here? Some people don't refuse the word, they simply postpone it. Do this thing now, I go do them later. A carpenter came to work for me in the house to do this net that wood that you put mosquito net through. We negotiated, asked him how many wood go do them. We went and bought the number of wood. We came. I thought this thing, just cut this thing back, knock nail, put the net, fix on there. At least, okay, let's say 2 days' work. But to me, it was a day job. Koya Oga Plumber. One day job. I understand. He knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. It's a one-day thing. Oga said it's 2 hours job. Yeah, because you. So I expected with his skill, and you understand, I expected a day's job. We did 2 weeks. He never finished the thing. I'm not exaggerating. This week I went. I said, close this window now. He said, Oga, in a double design in me. Oga, now mosquito net. I don't need block this thing. Make I block my window. I am looking at the design. Do you think even if I want to pay him, I'll be happy paying that boy? A job that is supposed to be for 2 weeks. Listen, close this window. I have children in the house. They are walking up and down. Mosquitoes. Close this thing. Oga, in a double design. I am looking at the design for 2 weeks. It's a delayed response. People of God, as funny as this may sound, this is how we do to the things of God. When God says pray, you go say, make I plug water to bath so that later I go. No, it's the same thing we're talking about. Delayed response. You want to do it, but you want to do it at your own timing, not God's timing. It's wrong. It's wrong. And then lastly, will I be able to finish this? A simple spiritual flow of obedience. Number one, right? Spiritual flow of obedience. Spiritual flow. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to read the 7 of them. Spiritual flow to obedience. Didn't I mention number 5? I said delayed now. Didn't I say that? Oh, I didn't say number 5. You see, this is what time can make you do. Oh, that is true. Number 5. Did I give you scripture for number 4? I'm trying to rush, you know, when I'm looking at time. And you know, some of you and your faces is funny. I wish some of you be climbing here. When some people face daylight, you know, say cow, no, they smile. Cow face, you know, some people's face is like, what the heck is this man doing up there? Let him finish and let me go. There is a rice and fish tilapia that is waiting for me at home. So sometimes we're in a rush so that to save time for all of us. Please, my apologies for that. Scriptures for delayed response is 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. It says to obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15 22. And then number 5, we say love for comfort. Oh, thank God I didn't miss this. You people are good students. You reminded me. I would have skipped. Love for comfort. God's instruction often stretches us beyond comfort zones. Love for comfort. God's instruction often stretch us beyond comfort zones. Obedience sometimes demands leaving familiar places, sacrificing convenience, and taking spiritual risks. It takes you off the comfort zone. People of God, some people will say, whatever you find it easy to do is not from God. Be careful when you make judgments like that. Be careful when you make doctrines like that. I am very, very careful when I want to make something become a doctrine. People of God, I pray 3 hours most nights, but it shouldn't become praying 3 hours every night a doctrine. It is not supposed to be a doctrine, sir. It's supposed to be a way that when God says, okay, pray, some days it should be 10 minutes if God says so. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not like that. What works for me, I want to wake up and have quiet time from 8 to 10. You never enter problem. You get emergency, you think of quiet time. No, there are some things in the spirit of God that should be flexible. But listen, God will always stretch you out of your comfort zone. God will always stretch you. God will want to test your level of obedience. Listen, if it is not something difficult, then doing it is not obedience. God must always give you something that He will stretch you. When you obey, it proves that you love God. And scripture for this, we can find it in Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Galatians 5:24. Amen. Am I done with this? Can I just read this other one? 7 of them. Like I said, I'm just reading them. So you just write. Spiritual flow of obedience. I'm just going to call them. Then you write. Number 1, revelation. Write number 1, revelation. Then put a hyphen and write God speaks. Revelation - God speaks. Number 1. I will explain them in a rush. Number 2, conviction. Are we there? Have we got to number 1? Number two, conviction, put dash, the heart receives. The heart receives. If you are not writing, you will not do well in this place too. Because some of these things we have to visit them. And some of us are not good in going back to the link to get our sermons and revisit them. Even if I'm not in church, I listen to sermons. Please, that's why you always find me with an earpiece. Please learn that. So we said, number one, revelation, God speaks. Number two, conviction, the heart receives. Number three, faith. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Then put dash, the word is believed. The word is believed. Then number four, have we gotten that? Number four, write submission. Submission. Then put dash, the will surrenders. Submission, dash, the will, W-I-L-L, surrenders. Number five, are we there? Are we there? Okay, number five, action. Action. A hyphen, dash. The instruction is obeyed. Action, dash. The instruction is obeyed. Number six, consistency. Consistency. Put a dash. Obedience becomes a lifestyle. Obedience becomes a lifestyle. Consistency, dash. Obedience becomes a lifestyle. Then number seven, the last. Manifestation. Manifestation. Put dash and then write, God confirms his word. Now, people of God, if you have written these things, leave the first part. Can we read the second part together? The dash, what is on the other side? Number one. Then what? Then what? Then what? Then what? Then? And then God does what? This is the simple logic to obedience. Please go and write this thing and keep it at home. Go and write it. Anytime you wake up in the morning, look at it. When I saw this thing, I shouted. This is just the definition of obedience. Can we rise even as we pray? I love what Mary said. When Jesus came to her, when the Spirit of God, Gabriel, came to her and said, you will be with a child. What did Jesus say? Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises. He said, I can stand secure and then carved upon my heart is the truth that sets me free. According to your words, O Lord, now be it unto me. One more time. Be it unto me. Oh, according to your word. Oh, yes, Lord. According to your promises, and I can stand secure. Come upon my heart. It's the truth that sets me free. According to your words, oh Lord,
oh yes, Lord,
be it unto me.
Is that your cry this day? Not your intelligence, not your profession, not your skill, but according to your word, oh God, be it unto me. We are looking at purpose-driven life. It is indeed the will of God that should be done in our lives. That is why today we said you are not an accident. Kai! You must have the will of God in you, working perpetually, always. You must have the will of God resident in you. You must do it in accordance to the will and to the dictates of heaven. Is there a place in your life that you allow yourself to be in charge? Is there a place in your life where it is you that wants to take the lead and not God? Mary said, be it unto me. People of God, do you remember her limitation? She was a virgin. She knew no man. She wasn't married. It was not legal for her to be pregnant. There were so many limitations. But she said, no, oh God, let not me. Your will, your promises. She said, on them, I can stand secured. It means that the enemies will not blaspheme against her. The enemies will not see her. What will happen is that she is secured under the will of God. Have you gotten to that point? That is what the Bible defines as what is called brokenness. You will reach to that point where it is no longer you. It is God that you have been broken. It is God that is leading you. Have you gotten to such point?
According to your words,
according to your promises, I can stand secure. Guide upon my heart, the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Sets me free according to your